Welcome to the Abnormally Funny People Show, sponsored by Barclays. For further information, please visit abnormallyfunnypeople.com. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello! Welcome to the Abnormally Funny People Show. We said that together because if this first podcast is looked back on in years to come, we wanted both of us to be the opening voice. Everyone remembers the first person to say something on a new show or the first line of a great book. The first person that talked on the BBC.
So, Simon Minty, who was the first person to speak on the BBC?
I don't remember.
So, I'm going to introduce us. I'm Steve Best, and I'm a stand-up comedian and co-founder of Abnormally Funny People.
And I am Simon Minty, the other founder of Abnormally Funny People. This podcast is brand new. It's a monthly review show with a big splash of comedy.
Over the coming shows, we'll be looking at a variety of things which have some sort of link to disability. It might be a product or item, technology or an app, maybe a show or a film, anything, you name it.
And we'd love you to get involved. If you spot something that might be interesting, useful, or about to happen, let us know. You can send us an email. It's podcast@abnormallyfunnypeople.com. And we're on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere.
Each month we will have a regular spot where we review products which are for everyone but might be particularly useful for differently disabled people. That's a bit of a tongue twister there, isn't it, Simon Minty? Our reviewers will be the marvellous talented comedians from Abnormally Funny People with special guests too.
Do you think we should tell them a little bit more about Abnormally Funny People?
Yes, we should, Simon. I keep saying Simon, don't I?
You do, Steve.
So we started out in 2005 and we went to Edinburgh for the Festival Fringe and performed for a month and we were lucky enough to sell out, one of the nights, wasn't it? Two?
I think a week.
A week?
Yeah.
A week and one day. It felt like the first time a group of disabled comedians were all doing their thing.
I think that's slightly misleading, Steve.
It wasn't the first time.
No. It's that you missed yourself out. We were keen not to be exclusively all disabled people. So we had our token non-disabled comedian. Your good self, Mr. Best. Well, that and we needed a really experienced comic on hand as well.
Thank you very much. So I was the token non-disabled one.
Very, very good.
Thank you very much. Who wrote that?
I think we both did.
You did, didn't we?
Steve is here to be both a very funny man and also because it's good to get a different perspective. So if you're listening and you're not disabled, don't worry. Steve is your man. He'll be asking the questions that you're thinking.
And if you don't ask what you're thinking, let me know what you want to know. Does that make sense? I suppose it does. So back to Abnormally Funny People. Since Edinburgh, we have grown from an initial six acts to now being around 14 or so comedians. We perform regularly at the Soho Theatre in London and numerous other gigs around the country. And here we are, now and here we are now and here, Simon, doing a podcast.
We hope you enjoy it, and as mentioned, we'd love to hear from you. We'll give you the contact details at the end of the podcast. And don't forget to set up an automatic download.
And if you do forget, you might miss out on discovering a great new product, which could be really useful, as well as the chance to win some of the products in a competition.
And best of all, the show is completely free.
Our theme tune is Colour Me Groovy by the Rich Morton Sound, a fine comedian, musician and close personal friend.
I'm pleased to say we've been joined by three of our fabulous guests this week. We have Steve Day, Liam O'Carroll and Liz Carr. We're going to introduce them a little bit more formally in a moment.
Yes, we are. We're going to introduce them informally, more informally. But Simon, anything interesting happening to you in this past month, kind of disability-wise, news?
Oh, hello. Yeah, I had two little bits. One, I went to, this is a bit serious, I went to a lecture recently by Tom Shakespeare, who's a well-known disability academic.
Wow. Has he written any plays?
I think he's related. Yeah, he's related. The point of it, it was only afterwards. There was a lot of people there, and then you look at all Twitter, go a little bit busy afterwards. And the bit I find really interesting, we were disabled people here, and I just thought this disparity that we have. We were all under this collective banner, but the breadth of disabled people and our different opinions on different things.
Wow.
It just confused me sometimes.
Kind of think, almost like people.
I hope you tweeted that, Simon.
I didn't. I decided to save it for the podcast.
Disabled people are all different. Hashtag.
Thanks for coming, everybody. I appreciate it. Okay, but the other moment of the month, I went to a meal with it was my sister's birthday. My mum and dad went along a Thai restaurant where they live.
He said his age quite quick, didn't he? I think he said that when my sister's birthday.
My sister's birthday.
Oh, I thought you said it was for 50th. Sorry.
No. How dare you? My sister's birthday. And we were leaving the restaurant. We had a perfectly lovely meal. And then I think she was like the restaurant manager, who was a Thai lady as well, came running out after me and grabbed me, gave me a big hug, and then gave me a big kiss, which was quite close to my lips, but not lips.
Oh, right.
And I just kind of went...
Chin.
it was more cheek. But and I just kind of... My parents and family didn't bat an eyelid, you know, but I just kind of thought... Why is that still going on? I don't know if there's something about short people. Oh, I should explain. I'm a short person, so I'm 3'10" or 1m20", whatever that is. And I don't know. Is Thai people got a particular interest? Am I doing a racial stereotype here?
Does it happen elsewhere?
When I was in Thailand, it happened a lot. No, people touch me, thinking it's good luck. But
I touch you.
That's Ireland. Well,
not a kiss and a big old... Sorry?
We all do that before a gig.
Yeah. I thought it was.
Always like to rub Simon and just hope.
If someone did spontaneously kiss you, though, it would ruin it because you'd think it would be height-related. So nobody could spontaneously kiss you without going, harumph.
If someone came up randomly as you left the restaurant manager... came and gave you a big kiss and a hug, would you kind of go, oh, that's because I'm stunning? Or my magnetism? Well, would you not think that's a bit peculiar?
I normally do, normally think that, yeah.
Steve Best, do you have a moment of the month?
Well, it was kind of. We did the show, Abnormally Funny People, actually did a show in Leicester, the Leicester Comedy Festival. Did you do the Leicester Comedy Festival?
No, I avoided it. No,
did you? It was good. We did the show and then...
I got out of it by saying I had a gig elsewhere.
Yeah, it was because you would have got paid for that. We would have paid you.
Oh, probably. Oh.
And Tim Renko was on the bill. He's
a comedian.
Very funny man. Oh, really? And so he asked for a lift home to London. So I gave him a lift home to King's. I had to drop him off at King's Cross. Yeah, he lives south. It's fair enough, isn't it?
Now, if you went on the train, you wouldn't say to the driver, right, okay, take me to Hammersmith now, would you?
Yeah, I would.
To the train driver?
I would. I think I would. Yeah. But,
very kind. But
I dropped him off and I didn't quite see, but it was double red lines out near King's Cross.
Right.
But then I took Tim out and helped him out because he uses a walking frame.
Oh, I see.
And he's quite slow of getting out, which is fine. I took him out, opened the door, and then 3 days later I got the ticket. Because I've been filmed.
Yeah, yeah. So did it take 3 days because he was so slow at walking?
3 days.
Yes. It does sound like
that's
that.
That's what I was.
Does it sound like that?
Yes.
Well, that's a better story.
Yeah, it is.
So are you saying because you were dropping a person who was disabled off, you should get exemption from that?
Did I say that?
I don't know. What's the point of your story?
Could you write a letter? Would you be honest?
So as we mentioned, each month we're going to be joined by the comedians and friends of Abnormally Funny People, and to now formally introduce them.
So are we comedians or friends?
You are both comedians and friends.
Wow.
And it's a pleasure to introduce you to all our new guests. We're going to kick off with Liam O'Carroll. Liam is an actor as well as a stand-up comedian and has just become a dad. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
What is your moment of the month, Mr. Liam?
Moment of the month. Thing is, this whole thing about moments of the month, I mean, you're talking disability-wise, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Ideally.
Trouble is, you see, as soon as you get into what is your disability-wise moment of the month, it's got to be negative, isn't it?
Why?
Getting a kiss from a Thai woman can be all right.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that.
But go on.
Blimey, that's knackered that then. what I was going to try and explain was, I mean, it's very hard to be positive, because positive is boring and cheesy. Or irrelevant. Like, for example, I can't say, my disability moment of the month was the fact that when I got on the bus, the audio voice announcements were working properly. Now, that should be a given, shouldn't it?
Yes.
So, it's got to be negative, isn't it? If you want an interesting disability-wise moment, which means a moan, doesn't it?
I think that, but hang on, so your point being normally they don't work, so it was a joy when they did, that's your...
That would be of interest,
yes.
But the point is normally they bloody well should work, and generally do, so
but
where's
I really
the news?
I like that your moment of the month is what it normally isn't, it's when something works, as opposed to normally people's, well that was memorable because it all went wrong, or whatever, ha ha ha, yours is like, oh my god, it was memorable because it all went right.
Because it wasn't crap.
Because it wasn't rubbish, and that's...
You're allowed that.
But if things work right. They're meant to work right, so don't give credit for things being done right. Mm.
If I get a disabled parking bay and that one of them's empty and I get it, that makes my day.
Yeah.
But does it make it for an interesting podcast?
Probably not. Good point. Thank you very much. So, should we introduce our next guest? Okay, we're going to introduce another of our guests. This is Liz Carr. She's a well-known actor on BBC's Silent Witness. She's a comedian and a leading disability rights campaigner. She was 73rd on the Most Influential Gay Person list written by The Independent, which was just underneath Alan Carr, which was a position neither of them expected. So, thank you.
I was actually 63rd.
Were you?
Yeah.
So Alan Carr was 64th. Yeah. Okay, joke still works, even if it's inaccurate. Thank you.
Sorry. That was my Rain Man moment.
Liz,
63.
Liz, do you have a moment of the month?
I have two. Am I allowed two?
Go for it.
Yeah. My first one isn't to do with me. It was John Cleese when Monty Python is doing their tour. They're about to do a tour, aren't they, and regroup. He can't do the Ministry of Funny Walks because he's got wonky knees.
No.
Absolutely true.
So this arthritis or something? Or he's something got, else. He's, can't
I don't
do
know. I think it's arthritis. It was, who's the other one? The one that does all the travel stuff.
Michael Palin.
Michael Palin was doing something, and this is where the interview was taken from, at the National Theatre, and he said, yeah, there will be certain sketches we won't do in the live tour, and one of them is the Ministry of Funny Walks, because Cleese can't do it anymore. It's quite energetic, all of that leg kicking and all that. Can't do it anymore. And I don't know why, it made me giggle. And also you think, all these people that do this amazing stuff when they're younger, age creeps in.
And I suppose the walk has to be the walk that we know it as from the...
Well, I was
because he could do a different one.
He could do, because it could be still funny, but it was a funny walk.
I was going to say, there's a little irony. I remember doing a rehearsal for Abnormally Funny People, and we discovered that us as disabled people had different walks. And we all do a funny walk just on a disability, but...
But you know what? We were all people underneath, weren't we?
Thank you for that little moment.
Just like people when we did that, weren't we? Wasn't it marvellous?
And Liz,
My second one is I was in a restaurant the other night just to show that disabled people do go out and eat, which is important to clarify. Mine was a curry restaurant. Yeah, I'm just going to say that. And we were talking about, there was a group of us mixed. Some were disabled, some weren't. I know. And we were talking about games we used to play as kids, right? And I was saying that when I was growing up, I used to play Charlie's Angels. My favourite game, I remembered, was Charlie's Angels. And I always got to play Sabrina Duncan because I had a bob and wore polo necks.
I preferred Sabrina.
Yeah, but nice, nobody wanted to be her in my school. So I always got the role, which was great, right? Yeah. So that was mine. Then this friend of mine called Bird, she went to a Catholic school. So she said they used to play the crucifixion all the time. She used to, and I'm like, what do you do? You just stand there like you were crucified. You get two other girls and they'd be beside you. They would just be like that. So and we're going around, then there's other games, there's tag, there's all of that. And then a friend of mine goes, wheelchair using friend, she goes, we used to play escape. And we're all like, oh, how'd you play escape? Is that like the crucifixion? She said, no, I was at special school. We used to play escape. And then once I got caught, she said, and they confiscated my electric wheelchair.
I thought you said they crucified me.
You're like, there you are having that. And she was absolutely, she's also a very funny woman. And she was going, and it was escape. And we're thinking this was this great game. And then absolutely, because she then talked about it for another 8 hours. It was kind of therapy then. But she said that's what happened. She got punished for trying to escape. It was so horrible, the special school she was at. And one of the punishments was that she had her chair taken away.
That's really kind of shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, just...
How long ago? I hope this is in the past. You're just
kind of worried. They're kind of in their 40s, so...
Right.
Not that long ago.
I guess they were in school in the 70s, 80s. Yeah, 80s kind of thing.
Thank you, Liz.
So our third and final guest is Mr. Steve Day. Steve is a comedian, prolific tweeter, sporadic marathon runner. When I say sporadic, I think he runs 1 mile at a time. Is that right, Mr. Steve?
Every Sunday. Run 1 mile at a time.
That's true.
Marathon.
One step at a time.
Can't run 2 miles at once.
No. You could do if you had a long stride like the Ministry of Funny Walks.
Yeah.
So your moment of the month, Mr. Steve.
It's not the one. It's not Stephen Hawking doing his algorithm for who's going to win the World Cup, and like Wayne Rooney over pi r squared or something, and thinking, what will Stephen Hawking not do for a well-known betting website for money? And also, it's not the other one that I've forgotten, which is good. It's the one my son is. My son plays football. I've got three kids who play football. One's got a trial for Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Wow!
And but you're not allowed to say. Parents not allowed to say anything. Not allowed to, you know, make.
Not allowed to get excited.
Not really. No, they don't like. And I don't. I took a vow of silence, but I muttered to myself under my breath, "Oh, I should have passed that. Oh God, what you're doing?" And that. But and the coach asked me. He came. I've been doing this, you know, silently. He came over and said, "Can I stop shouting?" I thought I was whispering quietly. And if I think now of all the things I've said over the years about my sons, the other kids, and especially the managers,
isn't that meant to be a bit of a problem generally, though, with sort of overeager parents shouting from the sidelines?
Yes, I hate it. I hate the way that. Parents get over and they live their lives vicariously through their kids playing football, and then when the coach asked me to quiet it down, I'm hoping it was my mistaken identity, but I just fear that I've been come on. Well, I think I've been saying it under my breath.
Brilliant.
So that's my moment of the month.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, well, we get to the sort of chunky bit of the show. All three of you were sent an item last week. We didn't tell you what it was. We didn't give you any instructions. What we asked them all to do was to just record that sort of first minute or two when they opened the package and how they got on. So let's have a little listen to Liz when she was opening her parcel.
Okay, so I'm opening my secret pack. Well, I say I'm opening. Thanks, Simon. I'm actually not opening. Is this the challenge? Is this... Yeah, so... Okay, first hurdle, can't get it out the bag. Hold on. Yeah. Maybe next month send scissors. Right. This is real, honest to God, cutting. You know, have you seen me? This isn't easy for me. Just being able to do this is going to get me, have my benefits taken off me, the ability to cut. Okay, no, I'm in. I'm taking out something that's, oh, it's quite heavy for my little arms. Oh, it looks like an artificial breast. It's quite a large one and it's got ripples on one side. But feeling, oh, that's very nice, actually. Black, it says, well, it kind of says what it is, so I don't know whether that's a giveaway. It's called a slouch mat. It's black on one side, kind of non-stick. On the other, it's got like beads inside it. It's like a bean bag. It's like a bean bag from special school sports. That's what it's like. It's quite, if I massage it, it feels rather lovely. That's what I'm doing now. Can you feel that? Oh, it's quite nice. So it looks good against my body, although it's just one very large black breast. There's nothing wrong with that. Having one breast isn't something to discriminate against. But if I put it over, it's rather good. When I turn it over, so the flat surface is next to me, and facing up, it's really stable. So I'm guessing, but this is because of the name and the picture on it, is that it's a slouch mat that you put your mouse on in the position you need it to be on if you've got a crippled wrist or something like that. That's what I'm guessing. However, I'd actually like a bigger one because I can't often reach tables. So it's a wonderful thing. I don't exactly know what it is, but I think I've got the measure of it. Next time, send some scissors so I can actually get in the packet. Thanks, Simon.
Well, thank you for that, Liz. Very sorry that the packaging was so blooming difficult to open. You guess what it is because it's written on there. Now you've had a few days with it. What are you making of it, this slouch mat?
Well, as I sit here, I have my glass of water resting on it because it has raised it up. There was a slight problem with it in a way because it is on the whole, I think for people disabled or not, to have to put their mouse on it. I've got a laptop, so I don't have a separate mouse. So it was kind of not that useful. It was only finding other things like putting a cup on it or whatever that it was useful for. But I can see, you know, it's very
nice. Don't you ever connect your, even with a laptop?
No.
I stopped doing that. I used to do that.
I think just to keep too many gubbins.
Yeah.
Do you want to? Can I? Pass
Liam's
it
having
to...
a little a stroke, yeah. as it were, oh. of Lizzie's
of my large one breast.
If you would, if I mean, you did describe it quite that. Well as now. Is there anything you would add in terms of?
I visualised it as a much more, is it though? Bigger thing.
thank you.
But
now put me down and touch that.
It's ergonomically good.
That's a good word.
Good word, Liam.
Ergonomically,
that is great. If you turn it upside, if you put it in the, if you put it down wrongly, it's fun.
Yeah,
it's more tactile now.
Yeah.
You're not taking home for your kid, are you, Liam?
Yeah.
Just
have a go.
I looked. Did you look it up online or anything? Liz? Did you go that far?
Maybe I did.
Like,
yes,
that I did. Wrap. Sorry.
So when you looked it up online, what else did you find, or did you find any other uses for it?
I think I thought it was more of a specialist piece of equipment, and actually we're not. Disabled people aren't the main market necessarily. It could work for us, but it could work for anyone.
Yes.
And one of the pictures had someone, a wheelchair user, in the wheelchair, and the mouse, the slouch mat, was on the arm of the chair.
I saw that.
And they could then use the mouse on top of the slouch mat. And I thought, oh, well, that's quite clever. So maybe you could have, it's like a little cocktail table on your chair. In fact, pass it over. I haven't tried this.
Okay, so we're just putting it on the arm of Liz's wheelchair.
This could get messy.
Balancing the glass of water.
That's all right.
Oh, my life, it's working. Mm. It's working.
See, I mean, I wouldn't want to move.
No.
But it's quite cool in that sense.
Get what you're going to, I think you're the fixation of the mouse, a computer mouse. I think that's misleading. I think it's like a little portable tray that you could put on any surface. Which whatever level it is, and it should self-level. That's how I kind of.
I've got a square one.
Have you?
Well, a rectangular one. It's to sit on your lap, to have your dinner on your lap.
Yeah.
And it's got the sort of beanbag effect.
Well, I've seen those. They're out there, aren't they?
Good job, sent out. I'll be trying to sleep on it. That's slouch, mate. It's not that comfy.
Could double up as a travel pillow. Yeah.
Okay, if you were to sort of suggest any improvements, Liz, what would you change?
The colour.
Oh, you wouldn't have black.
You probably, if I'm ever invited back on the
flesh
show,
colour.
That will probably be my main comment on anything. It's like the colour. It just comes in black.
And does it only come in black? Have we found?
Think there's a choice. Okay. I didn't look massively, so I might be wrong.
So what colour do you want your slap mat to be?
I would. Have you seen how I'm dressed today? Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of turquoise, a lot of pink. I just want a variety of colours.
What if they had interchangeable covers?
That would be quite nice. I think a variety of colours would be very, excellent. And possibly a selection of different sizes, I would say.
That's the point, isn't it? It's a bit like Liam's big tray one.
But as they sent you one, they can't really send you a... You don't know, they might have a selection of sizes.
But they don't. I don't think they do different colours, and I don't think they do different sizes, because I did look at that, because of how my arms work, often if I go out to a restaurant, whatever, the table's a bit too low. So I want something. I've had phone books, I've had shoe boxes, just anything. I've had extra plates, like 8 extra plates, and then you put my plate on top.
Is that
top.
The Greek restaurant you went to?
Yeah, they're nothing.
Did they come out and kiss you after?
No, but they rubbed my head for luck, which is nice. Yes.
That's a Greek thing.
I feel the tray surface should be a different colour from the beanbag bit.
I love that comes rim. From the blind man in the
That's an interesting... Is that just a design feature, Liam?
The tactility leads one's mind to visualise or assume a colour.
Could you put a price to? Could you put a price to it?
How much do you think it's worth?
Liz, did you find out? Or you,
no, I didn't look at the price.
So guessing the price, guys...
I would say, but this is London price is £15. I would say,
Liam.
But if they bought it in Yorkshire, you think ten?
Yeah, it'd probably be a fiver.
You get
a
pudding with it as well.
Okay, so £15, Liam.
£15, right? In London, £5 up.
Is that including delivery?
No.
No.
The price, Liam.
I would say £23.95, exclusive of VAT.
Oh, goodness me. So 20% on top of that.
I thought cheaper. About $10.99 plus medical bills trying to open the package. This is like the Price is Right, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that. Come on down.
It's sort of Antiques Roadshow. Light.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you want to make it a bit classy.
No, disabled antiques.
For purposes of insurance, $10.99.
But we can see what I get for it on eBay. Are we allowed to keep them?
Oh, they're going to be competition prizes. I'm really sorry.
Oh, okay. We spilt coffee on it. The real prize, Simon?
No. The actual price, everybody, £12.99. Steve Day is the closest. Jay.
Come on down.
Okay.
Am I through to the next round?
So we're on to Liam now.
Hi.
So Liam recorded his initial reaction when opening the parcel. So could we take a listen of that one?
First impressions, it reminds me of a very fat Frisbee. One that would never really be used in the real world, but it's clearly not a Frisbee. It's, it could be some kind of lampshade. And it's full. It's not, you wouldn't be able to get a lamp in it because, there's no sort of aperture for it. I like the wavy outer lining. It's like a hat. It's shaped like a hat. You have this sort of, it's round for a start. And it's like an outer rim, which has a nice wavy effect, like a bit like a catwalk that goes up and down. And there's little gaps in between the rim and the inner pie, which, if you were walking along this catwalk, imagine you were small enough, you would fall through the gap, and depending on how high it was, you could die. The rounded pie of the hat has three dimples on it, three bumps, which. Yes, there's no apparent. It could be lights, I suppose. It could be lights. Totally wasted on me, I'd say. Lights. But, what else have we got? Turn it upside down. Ah, maybe those three bumps are actually. It rests on them. And stay. Yeah, I think they're the feet, effectively. The feet.
So, Mr. Liam O'Carroll, what you've actually got there. Do you know what it was?
I found out at a later date, thanks to some sighted assistance,
yes,
that it's something known as a giddy bowl.
Yes, it is.
A giddy bowl.
It's a giddy bowl. And do you know now what it does? And
not fully. It's certainly a vessel. I believe it's something to eat out of.
Why are we talking in old English? It is, yes. And anything else?
Yeah, for use on vehicles that might lurch. It's like boats, planes, tube trains, etc.
You mentioned this is the bowl in the middle. So explain the principle a little bit more. I'm not.
Yeah. So there's a bowl within a bowl, and the inner bowl is tilts on an axis. In fact, it can completely swivel round, totally over 360 degrees.
However. It's like the other way, because if you've got something in it, then you tip it 360 degrees, it all falls out, does it?
It would do, and some, because underneath there are slats. So yes, if you wanted, I mean, quite handy. If you decide you didn't like the soup in it, you could just get rid of it by flipping the inner bowl right upside down to get rid of it. But that would only be for people who like soiling their trousers.
But I think we've got the principle the wrong way around, in the sense of the point being, you're holding it now. And whichever way you hold that, that bowl will stay level.
It will, but with limitations. For example, I tried it.
On the aeroplane.
I tried doing that by holding it, by completely turning it upside down. And it still stays level. Well, that didn't happen earlier, because I actually wet myself earlier.
If you've got something in it, that wouldn't be good, would it?
No, that's the whole point. If you have something in it, you should be able to turn it around.
360,
I think so. Look, you look at it now.
Should we try with my water?
We could try that.
No, no.
Water here. I have.
If you do it slowly, I think it.
Yeah, if you do it slowly, yeah. But sometimes in life, things don't happen slowly.
So if your tube train goes upside down,
you're in a roller coaster.
Your soup's all right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everybody else is dead, but yours.
Do you remember that clip of, we can't say Jim will fix it anymore? Forget that.
It's part of our shared history. Come on.
Okay, do you remember that episode of Jim Would Fix It where the Boy Scouts were in the roller coaster trying to eat food and it was spilling all over the place? I'm wondering whether the giddy bowl would be the solution for that moment.
Yes.
Because if you move around a lot, that's the purpose of. Did you actually try eating anything out of it?
Well, I put some water in it. I didn't try eating that because it's very small. I think it's for children.
Okay.
I have a larger appetite.
But that's true. It is quite small, isn't it? Maybe it's for hors d'oeuvres.
Or very stingy portions.
Well, just because this is not visual. So how big? Side of a tennis ball? Bit
sort of side plate. The whole outer rim is like side plate size.
Okay.
Then the inner bowl is, yes, it's like a really small, tiny, stingy restaurant ice cream bowl.
So besides potpourri or something putting in it, what else would you use it for?
Potpourri that you didn't want to spill. You took it on the tube, some potpourri.
You could just waft around.
This time of year, it can get a bit stinky.
I mean, I can't remember a time I went on the tube without a bit of potpourri.
No, you've got the perfect vessel.
If you're on a boat or a plane, what would you be pouring into it? Do you bring the stuff actually in it from home with the lid on? Because I mean, I don't know how airtight the lid. Again, I think it's stuff trickled.
It looks airtightish to me, doesn't it? The what they called those?
It's like a gyroscope bowl that you might teach kids about the universe using it and the rotation of the sun.
That's precisely what it's for, Steve. Well done.
It reminded me a little bit of airport.
Another use.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Okay, so if you throw in an element of disability somewhere along the line, who would this potentially be useful for, or is it useful for someone with a particular impairment?
I'm just trying to think. I'm someone who had difficulty with their balance, maybe.
I know the answer to this.
Go on.
If you're at a restaurant, you know you've got a bit left over, you want to take it home.
Yeah.
You put it in there, and if as you're leaving, the proprietor comes out, gives you a big hug and a kiss, don't spill your take home.
Knocking you off balance.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But that
only works if they're not doing it because of size. They're just giving you a kiss anyway.
Liz, what do you think of the giddy bowl? You've seen it for the first time?
I mean, I'm not exactly sure I'm guessing it's something that you eat out of, but it's okay if you move while you're eating. So that might be because of your particular impairment, I don't know, you're holding on to it and you can eat independently, maybe.
Screams special needs, though,
but doesn't it? The problem is the colour, weirdly, because we've had the slouch hat and I said it should be in available in more colours. What I don't like about the giddy or bowl is the colours. That certainly would not be for an adult because it just feels like it's primary colours.
If you're a serious exec and you've got cerebral palsy, you're not going to be taking that into the boardroom.
You're not taking your lunch in that.
Right.
You know
in your
mean?
Little tykes.
You'd want it in metal,
bowl.
Silver.
That's what it looks like.
Of course, it's a bit small. Yeah, you would.
You know the little tykes toys? You know, like they've got the little car, and that's what this looks like.
There's something about the plastic and the colours, and I think even the styling, it looks more like something from the Early Learning Centre.
So if we're summarising, this is like something that's designed for children to help them eat, but it may be all right for somebody with a disability, so long as they don't mind using kids' things.
I guess as long as they've got no pride, then it would be fine.
Get rid of disability pride, is that what we're saying?
Or dignity.
Yeah.
Then they'll probably be okay.
But it's nicely made. It all clicks in. And the the perpetual horizontality feature is very neat, isn't it?
And you'll always know where Jupiter is.
What would you pay for this, Liam? So let's have a little guess. What would be your idea of cost?
I imagine it would be overpriced, so I'd say it would be $8.99.
Okay, ooh. Steve, price?
I'm saying £5.
That's Steve Day's £5. Liz?
£10.
Liz Carr. One penny short at
$9.99. Was it
$9.99
from JML?
Oh, God. Thank you, Liam. Steve Day recorded his initial reaction when he opened his parcel. Let's have a little listen.
Right, well, this is Steve Day opening about to open my mystery package that's just arrived via Royal Mail in a posh-looking envelope. And, I'm going to just open the package now. Right, well, first of all, the package has proved too strong for my puny strength. I'm going to try and open the package now. And I've just got the thing out, And obviously the first thing I thought, package arriving here, was sex toy. It's a like a, well, I don't know, a pen shape thing with a clip on it. I've got no idea. It could be kind of like lip balm or something. I don't know. I'm going to try and open it. It's a white cylindrical thing about 4 inches long. Right. Oh, I've opened it and something's fallen off. A bit has fallen on the floor. And it's vibrating. And to be honest, I'm a bit worried. To be honest, I'm completely... it's got a bright light, and you might hear that, a vibrating thing. So sex toys, I haven't ruled it out completely. Why would you need a light? Oh, maybe for illumination, obviously. I have no idea what this is. Probably something to do with cleaning. I don't know. I have no idea, apart from A, illuminated sex toy, or B, cleaning thing for something.
Well, thank you, Steve. there seem to be some added sound effects, like snoring and
dog. Sorry, I had a dog. I've got two Labradors. I don't know. I can't hear them. I didn't know they made noises. But that's what the thing was.
And again, like Liz, the biggest issue was opening the package in the first place.
I'm a 17 stone man. I couldn't have a blinking thing.
Thank you for the description. So this is this white sort of stick thing.
Yeah,
I have it here.
It's like a pen. Like a pen.
Yes, it is.
But I did find out what it was.
Ah.
You found out what it was, as in playing with it, or you looked it up?
There was a label on it.
Okay.
Which I read, and it told you what it was.
are you seriously, you couldn't tell what it was, really?
No, until I read the label, and it said exactly what it was.
And
was
what is it?
Did you use it for some of the other suggestions before?
Yeah, I had a go.
So, okay, brilliant.
Cleaned it.
And that'd be quite painful, though, wouldn't it?
It was an illuminating nail file.
Okay. Oh, hello.
So that's what it was. So you could, it lights up your nails. Let's see, look. And the battery's not working anymore. I used it quite a lot.
Your nails look lovely, by the way.
And your dogs do as well.
Yeah, and it... A nail file that you don't have to, you know, shove up and down.
The torch bit, is that useful? I mean, I'm going to have it to you.
It could be. You can see your fingers. I mean, if you wanted to throw your nails in the dark, and who doesn't, then it would be...
It's a winner.
But a bit fell off as well. It's a bit plasticky, a bit fell off. A bit of the works.
Now, you see, I feel a bit guilty because when I was packing it, a bit fell off before I packed it.
Oh, I see.
And I didn't quite know what to do, so I just put it sort of around and hoped as well. Right. So, yeah, that might have been us.
Had you used it?
As a nail file? No.
I thought.
Is that why the batteries have run out?
I didn't use it as a nail file. Exactly. Liam, you sound like... Or you can say something.
It's basically, just in a nutshell, it's an electric toothbrush, but for filing nails.
Yeah, that's... And I asked my wife didn't get it. She thought it was a sort of exfoliating thing.
Oh.
And my son, my 14-year-old son, said, nail file. Oh, right. Yeah. And he hadn't read the label because I took it off before I showed it to them.
But surely it feels like a nail file.
It's sort of rough, but...
You don't think that...
I don't file my nails.
It's metal, and anyone I know who does file their nails...
Yeah, but look at it, kind of...
You don't use a metal one, you use an emery board.
Yeah, you should do, because I play the guitar and I would...
Oh, you are awful.
I file my nails under the letter N.
And it was a bit...
That's a joke, that was, Steve.
It's a little bit plasticky. But if that's what the future of nail files is, Dick Emery board, then...
Liz, you've been very quiet. What do you think of the... it's actually called the Lighted Nail Care Wand. So what do you think,
Liz?
Care wand? It's an interesting wand, isn't it, the word wand? Isn't it?
Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
No, just... Why would you call it that? But go on, sorry, Liz.
It just sounded like a mini sander. Essentially, that's what it is. You're sort of sanding...
Can be used for something.
Isn't it? So you could use it for woodwork.
Yeah.
Or crafting. I'm thinking you could use it for making craft things. Mm. You know, if you're
making a little model.
If you're making a galleon out of matchsticks...
I was going to say galleon out
really?
Of matchsticks.
Really? Well, it's always a galleon.
You
just
smuggle it to prison and use it to make a chicken out of...
Well, it sounds, because I'm in the world of sound, of course, It sounds like my Remington nose hair trimmer.
Yes.
You're also in the age of, or in the Middle Ages as well. You have a nose trimmer. That's quite impressive.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Does that have a light on it as well?
So you haven't, I hope not, because that would have added to the cost and that would have been a waste of money, wouldn't it?
That's true, but I wonder if that is a sales thing. You know,
do you find
you
your nose
there.
Trimmer?
I'm surprised they put a light on it, because I don't quite see the... Am I missing something?
You might want to do it in the privacy of a darkened room.
But you file your nails, or I would, to see... You look at them, don't you?
If you had poor sight, is that... Yeah, is that the help?
But...
Maybe.
You can feel your nails as well. You tend to feel your nails to feel.
You wonder how we've done without this object, don't you?
Yes.
Without a lit-up nail file,
We've all reached a certain age and suddenly realised this is the missing
My life's
piece.
Empty now.
You mentioned other uses, like making models. I'm thinking, could you use it for your feet if you've got bunions and verrucas?
Sort of exfoliating sort of type.
Oh, that's a much better phrase, yeah.
Well, that's what I thought it meant. Is it sawing your bunions off, but yeah. General skin sawing, exfoliating. Mm. And or whatever. I don't know.
If you were to improve it,
have it fall a bit.
Yeah,
and and don't make it look so much like a pen, because it's confusing.
And this is just white. I don't know if we've got other colours, but Liz, different colours.
Obsessed with the colours. I think you can afford to have good colours on a vibrating nail file. I think it's essential. Otherwise, it looks a bit clinical.
But if you say you were stranded at sea, it would make a good light, a beacon, you know, to call shipping. And it's quite the light. I'm just trying to think of another use for the. It's a bit of a nail biter. So we're not allowed to do jokes, are we?
If you were stranded at sea in your matchstick galleon, you could use it.
Oh, that's. Yeah,
it all comes round.
It could be a lighthouse that goes with a matchstick galleon.
Okay, guys, so what would you pay for it?
Steve
Day first.
£2.50.
£2.50?
Yeah.
£2.50?
£2.50.
Did you just say £2.50?
Yeah.
That's quite a low price, isn't it?
Wrong,
it's got
batteries
in there as well. Batteries will cost you £2.50.
Are batteries included?
I don't know.
Liam.
Again, as we live in a world in which everything's overpriced, I would say $7.95
from Liam and Liz Carr.
I think everything's all going to be around the same price, so I'm going to go about a tenner.
I'm going to surprise you now. We're going to surprise you. That price was £18.
No.
What, not £17.99?
No.
For that pen of a vibrating light torch. Wow. Wow.
Well, that was a hit, wasn't it?
We were shocked. I think everyone's shocked in the studio.
Yeah, I've got no use for it. I don't file my nails. I don't value nail filing as...
Maybe it's for theatre critics. Yeah, the light on the pen. Sort of.
We should explain to people listening, the items that we get sent, we don't know what they are, and then we pass them out. So there is an element of, we are not aiming these products at particular groups or individuals.
But do they make the ideal Christmas gift? Exactly.
They could do, perhaps, as a little...
I thought you were sending the child's bowl to me because I'd just become a dad and you wanted me to try it out on my newborn son.
Okay. Can I just say, I've been now the slouch mat, I've been using it as a lumbar pad, and it's really good. It's like a vibrating lumbar pad as well. So that's a...
You're kind of leading us into where we're going to go, which is we want to have a vote and see which you think is...
Oh, sorry,
is...
have I jumped the gun?
No, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Sack me from AFP, I'm never working in this town again.
It was the perfect segue. I was so thrilled you did it.
It
was perfect.
But it's not now because
you've
been
blown.
Done.
Yeah, yeah,
now
you
missed
that.
It's the first one.
Abnormally funny people thing, isn't it?
So to rate them, out of 10, the slouch mat, Liz, out of 10.
Seven.
Liam?
I'd give it a very encouraging 7.
Encouraging 7.
I'll give that 8. I like that.
So 7, 7, 8.
Okay.
Then we've got the giddy bowl. Liz?
Oh, I mean, 1.
Oh, that is harsh.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of sort of humiliating.
Yeah. It's plastic humiliation.
Liam, you had the giddy bowl. So
yes, and I'm going to give it 10.
No, you can't do that.
You didn't really rate it that well when you spoke of it, though. That's the problem.
Oh, but it grew on me.
This isn't
is it because it's yours and
it's
you want
not a reflection
win?
Of the individual who is using it. It's of the item.
Oh, I wanted to win this.
Oh, no, there's no prize.
Ah, sorry, okay. I just thought 1 was a little bit unrealistically cruel. Right? So what do you think you meant for? I would say five.
Five?
Well, in Reappraisal, it reminds me of, in the Woody Allen film Sleeper, they have this thing called the orgasmatron.
Yes, they did.
That they all rub. Well, that's what it's like that. So I'm going to give it six. Because it's like the orgasmatron from Woody Allen.
That's very funny.
Six.
That could go well with the electric knighted wand you have. Comment. We've gone really base. Okay, let's have a little look for the lighted nail care wand. We go for a score, Steve.
I'll give it two.
Two. Liam?
Zero.
Zero. And you said one was harsh for the giddy bowl. Okay, Liz?
I'm going to give it three because I'm a woman.
Three, okay. So if we look at reverse order of the winner, well, the lighted nail care wand sadly came in with 5 points out of 30. The giddy bowl, second place, with 12 points. But our winner was the slouch pad that got 22 points.
Yeah, woo, woo.
Team car.
Thank you again to our guests, Steve Day, Liam O'Cowell and Liz Carr. So before you guys go, what are you up to right now and how might we see you in the near distant future? So Steve Day, near distant future,
I'm at the Edinburgh Festival in August, first week of August, at the Maggie's Bar, the Three Sisters. So it's free, come along and see me.
Just the first week, not the whole?
Just the first week, July 31st to August 7th.
Okay, that's lovely. Lovely, lovely. Liam O'Cowell.
You will next see me on Channel 4 in an episode of the new series of Friday Night Dinner sometime during the World Cup.
Fantastic.
Are you playing a blind man?
I won't be seeing you.
Possibly. Liz. I'm not as a divulged.
I won't be seeing you, so I'll be watching the World Cup. I'll tape it.
And Liz, where might we be seeing you next?
Everywhere.
Probably.
She's done everything.
I'm not planning on doing anything, but apparently I'm on a trailer for CBeebies that I haven't yet seen.
It's on all the time.
You keep telling me I haven't seen it.
You're as much as Chris McCausland.
You know what? That should have been the moment of the month. I think you've made it. When they do those little idents of all their best presenters or TV stars.
Yeah, I was going to do that.
And there was one which had... Yeah, I saw it. Liz is in there. Yeah.
But it was brilliant. You look good. You look like you know what you were doing.
It was amazing.
They've got to have the diversity thing. I was guaranteed to be in there, wasn't I, in a way?
I think it's good.
Was I using my chair?
I think it's brilliant.
No. So besides the BBC ident, we might not see you.
That's pretty much it, really. Okay. I mean, I'm doing things.
Bits and bobs. You're busy.
You know, obviously, I like to keep busy. Haven't really, nothing too major at the moment.
Okay.
Well, thank you, everyone, for coming.
It was a pleasure.
Yes,
it was.
Thank you very much. Part of the first one.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, we are running a competition this month to win the featured items. We have the giddy bowl and lighted nail care wand and slouch mat all as prizes.
We're going to offer each as its own prize. So to win, you need to contact us with your answer to the following sentence. I want the giddy bowl because...
What if they want the slouch mat?
Yeah, well, then it's I want the slouch mat because...
Oh, I see. I got you. And then the lighted nail care wand...
You got it.
Because, yep.
I think they've got the idea. So here's the different ways you can contact us. The email address, podcast@abnormallyfunnypeople.com. Our Twitter name is a little bit fiddly. It's @abnormfunnypop, P-O-P. There's a limitation on characters. So that's @abnormfunnypop. You can leave us a voicemail or even send us a text. We've got a telephone number, 07756 190 561. I'll do that a little bit slower, 07756 190 561. If you didn't get all that down, press pause and listen again. We're not live. Or you can just go to our website, abnormallyfunnypeople.com, and all the contact information will be there.
Try and make your answer funny. That'd be fun for us, because then we could... find it funny. Or you don't have to be, but it'd be good. So we'll pick a winner for each item and get hold of you to find out where to send it. Unfortunately, at this point, we can only send items to people in the UK. So if you're listening overseas, sorry about that. Closing date for this month's competition is Sunday, the 20th of July.
Well, that's it for our first show. Thank you very much for listening. Do tell other people about us. We hope you're going to join us next month when we're going to have some new products to check out and new guests to give us their wisdom and their review.
Drop us a line with your thoughts and comments, maybe some ideas, what you would like us to review next time. We can't promise to reply to you all, but appreciate you getting in contact. Again, the email podcast at abnormallyfunnypeople.com, the website abnormallyfunnypeople.com for all the social media links, the telephone number, etc.
A really big thank you to Really Useful Stuff. These are the people who supplied all of the items. You can check out what they do via their website, which is reallyusefulstuff.co.
.co. .co.
That's it.
Just .co. Love it.
So you don't miss a show, do subscribe. We're on iTunes. You can stream via Audio Boo if you prefer. And a final big thank you to our producers, Leanne and Anne.
So that's it. We're done. Is that it?
Pretty much. Although we now have that dilemma, whose voice is going to be the last one that people hear on this first ever podcast?
Is that not, that's not... you know what, Simon? It really doesn't bother me. I'm cool with that.
Okay, that's kind of cool. I like that. It's very humble. Hmm. And I like that. That's all... Do you want to say goodbye then, Steve?
Sure. Goodbye, everybody. See you next time.
And it's goodbye from me, the last voice on this first ever podcast. Thank you for joining us. Till next time.
Steve Bear says bye.